Scotland. There's a grouping that I've been working with, I'm part of the core team of, that works and brings together community churches across Scotland. And it's good to meet one another, to hear what one another are doing, and we're all really looking at this whole issue of encountering our communities on that Saturday, the 2nd of December. Now, I will be getting to many of you before then, just with a personal invitation to be part of that Saturday. We've got Chick Lidston from Perth Gateway Community Church, who's going to be speaking about what they're doing in positive parenting. We've also got Billy Queen from Bridgeton Community Church in Glasgow, who's going to be talking about their work with drug-proofing kids in their locality. But it's also an opportunity to share the different stories around community churches in Scotland of how we are encountering communities. If you would like to know more about that, or you'd like to be part of that day, then please come and talk to me, because I would love to invite you. You don't have to be a leader as such. It's for leaders and people who are interested. So please come and chat to me if you'd like to get an invitation to that day. That's Saturday, the 2nd of December. It's here at the King's Hall from 10 until 4. And it'd be nice to have a number of folks here, as we'll be welcoming folks from other parts of the nation as well. I'm just going to read from the scriptures. If you have a Bible with you, if you'd like to turn to the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to speak on, but I just really was provoked to read it. I'm not going to use it as a text, I'm just going to use it as a word of encouragement to us if I turn my Bible up the right way. Words of Paul to a church that is very dear to his heart. This church became a beacon to the world around it. I'm not going to refer back to it, as I say. Is this coming and going, by the way? I'm coming and going. That may be good for some of you, but I was just provoked to have us read that, because it unites us with brothers and sisters in Christ. Gone before us. Maybe I'll use the handheld, because otherwise it's just going to get to you, isn't it? Is this not? Is that okay? Good. It unites us with brothers and sisters in Christ who've gone before, and who were also on this journey. And I think these are words that Jesus, as I say, wants us to hear as a church this morning. We are like them in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seeking to be patient in love, and we're laboring with hope. We want to make room for the Holy Spirit and to be followers of Jesus Christ. And we're turning from idols to serve the true and living God, waiting for Jesus to return. So those words apply to us as well, and God just wanted to encourage us this morning. Now, over these past weeks, we've been tracing together through a theme of discerning community, being part of the story. So if this is your first Sunday here, forgive us that we're at the end, as it were, of a teaching series, but hopefully you'll be able to lock in with where we're going. In the series, we saw, first of all, that what we're part of is the community of the risen Jesus Christ, reflecting and embodying the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I spoke, you remember, about being sticky people. Sticky in the sense of adhering to one another in community, cohering together rather than fragmenting, and inhering in one another, put simply, carrying one another in here. And then we went on, Rupert was talking about sharing our deepest story with each other, seeing how we need each other to follow Jesus Christ fully, that we can't do it on our own, and we need to find that place of real sharing life with each other. Then we also saw that in community, God calls us to be present, not just with, but to each other, because Jesus Christ is constantly present to us. And he calls us to be with each other in a similar way, involved with each other, expressed in valuing and caring for each other by being there. David then took us on to look at service and sacrifice, and we saw that following Jesus is costly. It's a call to a cross. It's a call to giving and responsibility to each other. And he gave us the example, the story of that brother in Uganda in the last but one century, who served the Lord and served him in such a costly way. And last week, Rupert was speaking about the call for us to be a community who walks in the light with each other, who deals with each other directly, doesn't participate in gossiping or running one another down, that participates in honoring Christ by honoring one another and making a conscious commitment to do that. So this week we've come to the last part of the series. And you might remember, if you've been around in Community Church any length of time, that last year we went together through a process of discerning what our values are. What are the things that are important to us? What are the things that make us who we are as Community Church Edinburgh? I suppose maybe you might also say that they cohere us together, that they're cohesive values. And I've said on a few occasions, certainly that I've been speaking, that in this series, one of the things we want to do is to look at what are the personal implications of those values that we've said that God's calling us to. Because I think I've said it's all very well having them. We've got them on the website, you know, on our webpage. There they are, values and qualities. But they can just become like a poster on the wall, or they can become like a bookmark that we have in our Bibles, and they're just sort of there to mark the page or there to remind us, but actually, are we living those things? And what I just want us to look at is this morning is in this series of discerning the community, is just to take a look at the personal implications of what those values are. But I wanted to just preface that by saying this. There are two ways that we can come to church, that we can come to this community. We can come as those who see this as a kind of ark, A-R-K, as an ark of salvation, that we're sailing in towards heaven. A bit like an eternal cruise liner, where everything is provided for and there is constant buffet. And we can have lovely cabins and we lean back and everything is already done for me because Jesus has already done it all for me and I don't have to do anything. I just have to buffet my body, as Paul says. No, I don't think that's what he says, actually. That's what Bob Mumford used to quote that. He used to say, God calls me to buffet my body. But I think it's buffet my body is actually what Paul wrote. So we can see this, on the other hand, as the place where I'm working out the growth that God is calling me to. So this can either be a filling station, a lunch stop, or the workshop. And I actually believe that God calls us to be a church of disciples, a church of changing hearts, a church of growing people, not just numerically, but individually in all of our own lives. You see, salvation is a finished work. The cross did it, yes. But I am not a finished person. Let me say that again. Salvation is a finished work, but I am not a finished person. And someone said to their neighbor, too right. The values that we're going to look at are qualities that we aspire to as a community, but they can only be realized among us as we recognize that Jesus still has to be formed more fully in us by each of them, personally and corporately. We've not arrived, we're on the journey. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus' commitment to us is to finish the job he began. Paul says to the Philippians in 1 verse 6 of the Philippian letter, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I did love that prayer that, I've forgotten your name, but you prayed over Sandy just now about healthy trouble in parents' lives. Yeah, it's that's true. God can do that. God can use healthy trouble in our lives to grow us. And when trouble comes along, we all sort of go, oh no, it's trouble. But actually, that's part of the growing process. So I like that, healthy trouble. And that's part of the way he finishes what he began. That's part of the way that he will finish the good work that he started in us. And see, the aim and the destiny of every one of us here is to grow into the fullness of the stature of the new manhood of Jesus Christ, free from the Adam curse, living a life that is eternal, not only in quantity, but in quality. Doesn't that make your shoulders go back a little bit? Doesn't that make you aspire to something? I'm growing into Jesus. Jesus isn't going to leave me in this state. Praise God. He's going to grow me into something, someone more. So, welcome to the workshop. Just want to quote from J.W. McLennan, my McLennan quote for the week. It just happens to be the one I'm reading at the moment, but I like this. He said, "This is the disciple's life, imperfect insofar as each life has room for growth, but perfect in its spirit-given fidelity to Jesus' kingdom and his cause." In other words, although it's all done, it's not finished. And our task as disciples of Jesus is to incarnate, to embody, to work out, externalize that salvation with fear and trembling. We can't add anything to what Jesus has done, but we can express it by allowing it to become reality in each one of our lives. So looking at our values I was talking about in this light, I want to ask ourselves, as individual disciples of Jesus, which is what we are, am I prepared to engage with these values and live them out with and for my brothers and sisters in Christ? And although I'm talking about this in terms of our journey here at Community Church, I think you'll find that these values apply to any community that you're part of and any church that's walking together. These are things that are worth having, although there are certain things that perhaps would be particular to us. And I want to do it in this way. Rather than tell you all the things that these things are, because actually when we looked at the values last year, we did. We went over each one. In fact, we took nearly a year to talk about these. But this is what I want to do today. I want to look at how not to live these values. And not only that, I'm not going to tell you, but I want us to workshop together. So that's going to mean we're all going to be involved. Not just the monologue of me standing at the front, but the dialogue of one another sharing together. These are the values, then, that we discerned together last year that are on our website, that are on our bookmarks, and you probably will know what they are even before I say them. Community, worship, empowerment, growth. That means personal spiritual growth and corporate growth. Having glass doors and building bridges, which is all about relationship and about reaching out to others. Being a resource and an influence on our communities, on the world around us. And to me, one of the most important, if not the most important of these values, being dependent on God, dependency on God. So what I'm going to do is ask us to find four or five other people immediately around us. This is going to be your workshop group for this session. Now, if you think, oh no, that's horrible, please don't feel that you have to do that. We don't pressurize anyone to do it. At the same time, I'm not going to ask you to reveal anything deep. I'm just going to ask you to do some thinking and some brainstorming together, okay? You're not going to have to reveal the last 30 years of your history. All we're going to do is just do some brainstorming. So could you find, and particularly if you're regular here and you know that we do this every so often, just find around you four or five other people who you can chinwag with in a moment when I tell you what we're going to do. Just introduce yourselves to one another, especially if you don't know one another. Okay, thank you. Okay, I think we've introduced ourselves now. We know who one another is. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take these values one by one, and we're going to ask ourselves certain questions about them. So first of all, on value one, that's community. The whole theme of this series, the reflection of the Trinity, the following of Jesus' model of community in the 12, in the 72, to the 120, to the 3,000, and the ongoing commitment that we have to this sticky life that we've envisaged together. So just brainstorm for a moment with those people around you. One, what militates against community? And secondly, what is God calling us out of individually in our growth in the value of community? What's God calling us away from to live this value of community? Now, can I ask you to be very specific in this? I'm not talking about what could the church do? What could the leaders do to make this place a bit more like? I'm talking about what could I do? What could we do as individuals to answer these things? Because the church is not the leaders, and the church is not an institution separate from those who are part of it, it's us. So I want us to look individually at what militates against living out community and what God's calling us away from. You've got 2 minutes, that's all. 2 minutes starting now. Brainstorm about those questions. Throw some words at each other. Okay, that's 2 minutes. It's just going to be that quick. We're not going to have long discussions because we've got seven to get through. What I want us to do is just to feed back. This is kind of community preaching. We're going to be able to tell one another the answers. I've not got all the answers. I've got some suggestions, but I haven't got answers. So can you call out some of the things in your groups that came up when you were answering that question? What fights against, what militates against living our community, and what's God calling us? No, let's do the first one. What militates against it? iPods, okay. iPods, or one pods, as I heard them call yesterday. A tendency to gravitate towards people who are the same as us and not make space for others who are different to us. Thanks, Helen. Selfishness. I heard that in stereo there from Stephen and Ian. Yeah. Self-sufficiency. As we're just sorry, I'll come back to you in a second. I want to hear these. As we're doing this, can you be hearing God through it as well? We're not just shouting these words out just so to give the right answers. But if God touches anything and the Holy Spirit says, listen to this, listen to this, listen to this, then please take it on board as something that God's speaking to us about. Sorry, Helen, you were going to say? Shyness or awkwardness? Fear? Thank you, Ben. Pride? Yeah, any more words from up there? We don't want to leave you. Prejudice? Oh, yeah, that's it. Sin. Nice, simple one. Yeah. Very complicated, though. Sin. Laziness. Other priorities. Okay. That's good. So what we're saying is that it is possible to live in a way that doesn't build community by all of these things. I think they're really good ones that we're coming out with. All of those things that we've said, and you can ask Rob what he means by iPods. I'm sure there's more to that. Well, I don't think he's saying iPods are sinful, but he's saying they can get in the way of community. Actually, it's true when you see people locked in with themselves. That's something that they're not open, perhaps, to hearing. That's a sign. Okay, so in these things, then God's looking for a personal response from us. What's God registering with me now out of those things that I'm hearing my brothers and sisters and my friends around that are saying these things? What's registering with me maybe in those groups? Then the value of worship. I really enjoyed the worship this morning. Thanks you guys for leading us in that. It was really encouraging. Again, McClendon in the book I'm reading, Systematic Theology, says this about worship. In common worship, disciples meet their Lord. Christian worship that knows its holy object cannot be carried on by mere spectators or observers, however keen. Instead, in the remembering signs and in the dynamics of prayer and in all their worship, disciples engage one who meets them there. Here in Community Church, worship is a life stream for us. It's the love of God expressed. I believe it's actually the one thing he gets out of our meeting together here. It's the one thing he benefits from above anything else. Because a lot of the time, the other things we do are about us being together and maybe listening to him. But when we worship, we're doing something for him that blesses him. What then could be the hindrances to our value of worship being worked out among us? What are the individual blocks that can prevent us from seeing this coming about? What is God calling us away from to grow in this area? Let's chat that over for a couple of minutes together. Maybe a trickier one, that. Okay. I don't want to cut anyone off in mid-sentence. All right then, looking at worship, what is the how not to? What are the things that are going to make worship less likely to happen, to be a value? Alistair? Okay, so selfishness, looking at man's priorities, self-centeredness instead of God-centeredness will draw us away from worship. Thanks, Alistair.
Lack of preparation,
Ram. That's actually, say that one again.
Lack of preparation.
Thank you. Because I passed over that one and I suddenly felt, yeah, actually, we need to hear that. Lack of preparation. Guilt. Distraction.
I'm just the distraction of going out and getting coffee.
Okay. In the middle of a worship time. Yeah. Can be a distraction. There may be people here who need to see, this is where God can talk to us. He's not blanketing us all with the same thing, but it's worth, if the Holy Spirit just says, oh, actually, yes, you know, I do escape from the worship times into coffee. Okay, there's an enemy aspect to it, that the enemy is against worship. Thanks, Myra. David, can you say that again? The problem with living sacrifices is that they crawl off the altar. So we've got to stay there through it. Helen? Bringing part rather than bringing whole. Yeah, because actually what you just said about that thing altar, being on the altar, the word holocaust is the Greek word for burnt offerings, and actually holo means everything, the whole lot. So it's not bringing part, but bringing everything. Having a bad day. Did anyone else get that? Having a bad day, being under the circumstances, that can affect it. Boredom. Yeah, it could just be bored. I don't think God gets bored. He has a very wide taste. Okay, that's good. Again, sorry. Our ragged start. Thank you, Ian. I was a poor timekeeping on the part of one or two of us. I mean, I was addressing that couple of weeks ago, so thank you for bringing that back. I have to say, though, I felt this morning was really good. It felt like we were together, we were there, many of us, for the beginning. So thanks for those who are, you know, hearing that and are acting on it. That's great. Okay, we're going to move on. So again, would you listen to one another in this? I'm not tying all this up, but there were some quite tender things there. Some quite tender expressions that we need to listen to God. Not feel condemned about, but we need to be listening to God and say, Lord, how could I actually be more with it with you in worship? How could I encounter you more in worship? Okay, number three, the value of empowerment. This is an interesting one. What we mean here is releasing men, women, and children to be who they are, to be the people that God wants them to be, to step out into the areas of their gifting. That's what we mean by empowerment. It means enabling one another to do what we need to do to be the body of Christ. So the question is, what are the hindrances then? And there are two things here. What are the hindrances to either allowing one another to be empowered or to allowing ourselves to be empowered? I want to think about both of those. It's not just about the promise to leave behind in order to empower and to be empowered in the body of Christ. They're getting trickier, aren't they? Have 2 minutes on that one. Or three. You can ask one another and say, what do you think that means? Okay, folks. I'm rushing us through these because I do want to get through them, but I hope I'm not rushing us too much. Okay, once again, in this whole area of empowerment, what about things that stops us empowering, first of all, others? Believing we have limitations? Making assumptions or prejudging people, you mean that they can't do it? Yeah. Lack of affirmation. That people don't get affirmed. Control. that's in not empowering people, because we want to have the hand on the steering wheel all the time. Tight control. Lack of intimacy with the Lord. Fear of failure or rejection. Is that the one about being empowered? Does that have to do with being empowered? Or empowering others. Right, you've got to be vulnerable to do that. Okay. False humility. Actually, Alison over here had that one in our group as well. I think that's quite an important one. And we were saying either false humility that says I can't do this and I won't take the risk to do it, or even a false humility that says I'm worried that others will criticize me if I do, and they'll say who's that person. That's something that Alison was saying in our group there. So shifting over to make room for others. That's great, yeah. So it's making space for others. Is there any way in which we together need to look at how can I make space for someone nearby? This is all great. Think again on those things. There are other things maybe that came up in your group. Fourthly, growth is something that we've seen that is already, we saw, is God's agenda for us. Growth means change, individually and corporately. And we see the challenge of it even here among us today, a growing community that gives us issues about belonging, about relating, about welcoming new brothers and sisters in Christ. There's also the issue of change going on in our individual lives, which God is using by his Holy Spirit to shape us into the likeness of Jesus. So what stunts growth in us individually? And how do we individually hinder the growth of the wider community or corporate growth? And what's God telling us to jettison in order to identify with growth, with this value in all its aspects? Here we go again, more chat. Growth, what hinders growth? What stunts growth? Okay, growth then. Growth, let's have some thoughts. What hinders, what stunts growth individually or corporately? Allowing yourself to settle in a comfortable place. Ooh, but isn't it comfortable when you're there? Oh, isn't it nice? But yeah, that stunts growth. Disunity? Individually and corporately. Okay, yeah. Looking backwards or living in the past, allowing what's been to dictate what's ahead. What you feed on. So if you're feeding on stuff that's not healthy or is not going to grow you, that will stunt your growth. These are great. Not having a vision, so you're not knowing where you're going, so you go around in circles maybe. Ego. Yep. Three letters for a big thing. Yeah. Ego. I'm not going to let it happen.
Okay, we talked about how corporately a community can resist growth due to two reasons. One, it can feel uncomfortable about new elements, new members coming into the community. They don't fit. They're not cohesive for some reason. They're from a poor background and it's a richer community. Then those people can be pushed out and ergo the community doesn't grow. The other reason is corporately a community might not grow. It just grows comfortable with a certain set, a certain size. It gets a bit cliquey and it just doesn't want to grow. It sees no reason and therefore it won't. Do we have others?
One was a lack of a strong purpose, which creates passion and gives people a reason to work towards something. And then we also talked about how you can also have passion, but if you don't have the love for one another, that's not going to spur people on. It's got to be the combination of both.
Okay. There was one more up there somewhere. Sorry, Louise, could you say that again? Spending a lot of time. When all is said and done, there's much more said than done. And that's how it goes. That's a very good point, Louis. Spending so much time thinking or talking about it, we don't do it. I'm aware time's really going. I want us just to get on to these. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the next one, and just to give you some suggestions, and then we'll go on and maybe lump two together, actually. The glass doors and the building bridges is God reaching us, calling us to reach out to be transformative in our communities, calling us to be bridges to Christ where we are, whether that's next door or whether that's across the world. And I was going to ask us what prevents us from building those bridges and what is going to stop us from effectively opening the doors. But maybe some suggestions for you on this one, and then we'll just discuss the next one, would be insularity. Parochialism, if you know what that is, just living not beyond my doorstep. You know, I can't be bothered even with the person next door. It's very interesting, actually, living in this society that we live in, more people probably know the name of the President of the United States than know the name of their local councillor. Things like that that mean that we are living in a very micro way. Preoccupation with our own matters, passing the buck as well. I don't need to do this. This is someone else's responsibility. And it's a discipleship issue. When Jesus called us, he didn't give us a list of tick boxes saying, which ones do you prefer? Here's the multiple choice. He said, I'm calling you, follow me, and be my witnesses, and I will be with you. Resource and influence, this is the last but one, resource and influence. God has called us to influence the place we're in. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. That could be in our personal sphere of work, neighborhood, friendships. So let's just ask ourselves, and we will take a couple of moments to do this, how can we work against resourcing and influence into the places and spheres around us? And what is Jesus leading us out of in order for us to be influencers and resources into the communities that we're working in and living in? Just take 2 minutes to bounce that around. And you can actually include the previous one as well, building bridges and opening doors. That's kind of linked together. Go. And we've only got one more after this. Okay, just a couple. We're just going to make two suggestions back from the group. Just call out if you've got something on influencing. Okay, to be influencing, we need not to be conforming to the world. That's quite a powerful one, actually. That's quite a challenging one. If we're going to influence, if we're going to go that way, we can't compromise and look like that. We're not conforming. Anyone else? Apathy and procrastination. Yeah, I won't bother engaging. All right, the last one we're going to look at, dependence on God. Can you just talk about what militates against dependency on God? Let me just have a look at this for a second. There's sometimes a great temptation to see ourselves as being the engine of the church, but we are the body. The Holy Spirit is the motor, if you like. He's the empowerer. So what can hinder us in depending on God? And what does Jesus want us to grow out of if we're to grow into dependence upon him? Last 2 minutes, last minute even. Just chat that one over. What do we need to stop us not being dependent on God? Yeah, actually, just... Okay, actually, we'll do it corporately. Just call out some things. I won't get you all to... Materialism. Did someone say money up there? Money and materialism. They came out all at the same time. That's interesting, isn't it? Courage. We need courage. Being dependent on other people, allowing other people to take God's place in our lives, that's a real big one, actually. And that could be quite challenging for some of us if we feel we need people. So perhaps the comfort that we're in can work against us. We need to have the challenge to walk out of it. Yeah. I'll just convey that. We need the challenge to move beyond where we are in God, to suppose to depend on him more, and that goes for both corporate and individual. I know there's lots more things, but I'm aware our time has practically gone. By the way, that clock's 5 minutes fast, in case you were looking at that one. Just gives me time to say a couple of things in conclusion. By the way, thanks for working so hard together. But actually, you know, church, we have answers with one another. We have the Lord living among us. It's fun. I enjoy when we engage one another, and we could have engaged one another a lot more on these things, but I hope it's provoked us, and maybe there are things that people have said this morning you want them to maybe enlarge on over in the coffee time. Maybe you can say, listen, what you were saying there, what did you mean? And it may be important for me to hear that. But two things in conclusion. In sharing this series, because this is the last session of the series, as a leadership, we've been at pains to paint a picture of what we are calling each other to in community. This is not just the leadership of the church saying, this is what we think you should all be doing. A sense that as a church, we need to be calling one another to be effective for God as disciples of Jesus, called here together in Community Church Edinburgh. If we don't want to be effective, that's a problem. If we're not wanting to be effective as community, we have a problem. We have a lot of ground still to cover, but the exciting thing is that Jesus is giving us the space. We haven't failed. We haven't let him down. We also have the rest of our journey together. That's good news. That's good news. But one thing it does need for every one of us is engagement. We can provide the teaching. We can provide the CDs. We can provide a written summary, as we want to do maybe next week, to help you to overview this series. But only as we individually respond, only as we take it on to review this material, only as we take it on to ask God, what are you saying to me about my place in community? Only then will we see us moving forward. Because if you see this just as myself or David or Rupert standing at the front and doing their thing, but we don't engage with this individually as community, then it's going to be difficult to go where God wants us to go. And I just want to finish up by painting a picture of the response that we're going to call from each of us to what we've been saying. We said that there would be space for a considered response, a practical response to God and to one another. Next Sunday, we're going to take bread and wine together, as well as overview briefly what we've done in this series. Don't worry, we're not going to go through all six sessions and preach it again. But following on from that, following on from next Sunday, which is the 5th of November, we're going to take the month of November and invite you to write down something as your expression of engagement with what God is calling you to. And we're inviting you to do this not anonymously, but named, so that your brothers and sisters in Christ with whom you're walking can share your insights, your views, your thoughts on it. And that will be an expression to one another, as well as to God, of where we're going together as community. Just on an A5 sheet, we don't want novels necessarily, to blue tack up on the wall at the front here, and maybe we'll end up going round the sides. We might even end up going round the building if we get lots of them. These are not to be used as official documents. We're not going to lock them away in a safe and hold everyone to them. But actually, we want to give everyone a chance for expression to one another and to God in a visible way. And we're talking about that happening over a period of the month, not next Sunday. We're not saying everyone come and write something down, saying that over the period of the month, as you turn this over in your heart before God, what does it mean to be part of community here? What am I willing to engage with? What is God calling me to? What can I say to my brothers and sisters as an expression of commitment to them and to God in this place? And then on December the 3rd, we'll come together again, and we're going to give each other space, maybe look over what God's doing among us. And as well as written expressions of that, we're also inviting you maybe to be creative. Maybe you want to get working with some paint plasticine, clay or Play-Doh, or maybe some of you want to go out and make some wood, get some wood going. There's creative expressions. We'll talk a bit more about that next Sunday. But I'd got a picture of it ending up as a kind of harvest festival of our life together as a community. I don't know if you ever used to have harvest festivals at school, but whether you bring tins of beans and pumpkins and gourds and all the rest of it put on the table, be kind of that, presenting to the Lord who we are. And I'm just going to pray and with us now and just finish. In fact, no, I'm not going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray in your small groups for one another as you've been sharing this morning. Just pray with one another and bless one another as we go away from here this morning. There is coffee going to be available after this. We're not going to sing, but just bless one another in this journey that we're on. And you can come and ask me for more clarification of what I've just been saying in the coffee time, if that would help you. So just pray together now. For being here this morning, and we'll see you again next Sunday when we're going to, as I say, break bread together, and we're just going to overview and then seek God for the month of November about where we go from here. There is coffee available. Ashley?
Just two or three wee reminders. Well, first of all, a